This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buy Sell Week 12. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. And guess what, boys and girls? It's trade deadline time. That's right. Thanksgiving's here, and it's time to cut the turkey. It is time to stuff our faces, but it's also time to make sure that we're making the moves that we need to make to get those rosters locked and loaded for playoff runs, for championship hoisting. And we're going to do that today. Andrew Erickson, of course, is joining me every single Tuesday to talk about the running backs that we're going to talk about today. And back again from the Fantasy Flock Network, the giant YouTube channel with all the fantasy football, Mason Dodd somehow had enough energy left to join us and hang out. I don't know how he does it. He's worse than me. I don't know how you plug in again, reset you. But let me tell you, Mason Dodd might be the hardest working man in show business. And because you are, I'm going to hit you with a question right at the top, because the most traded running back on Sleeper this week is
Sleeper's most traded players,
DeAndre Swift. No surprise there. The question is, Mason Dodd, what can you get for him? And how willing are you to jettison him? Do you want to hold him? Do you want to keep him? Do you want to trade him? What do you want to do with Swift?
First off, Joe, let me say, can you please start writing the intros for my videos? Like, I have no idea how you're able to do that. And second off, I'm
years
sorry
of practice,
that,
my friend. Years of practice.
I am not going to be any help here. Like, I've been saying for a month, maybe, oh yeah, we can't start DeAndre Swift this week. You can't start him until we see the usage change. I mean, Justin Jackson's out there playing more snaps, but he still has rest of season upside if he gets right. And every single week, I look like an idiot. I mean, this past week, Jamal Williams, 3 rushing touchdowns. Justin Jackson literally had more snaps. So I'm throwing my hands in the air saying, like, what is his value? Who is trading for him? I have no idea how he's the most traded running back, because I can't imagine someone going through and still buying into the narrative that if he gets right, he can be a league winner. Maybe I'm throwing in the towel at the exact wrong moment. What I'm so worried of is me just repeating that same sentence that he has rest of season upside for a month while he's injured. I finally throw in the towel, and then all of a sudden, I mean, that's when he turns into a top 10 running back again. So I am so confused. I have no idea what's going on. I would love to hear your opinion.
First of all, Mason, you give me far too much props for writing any intro. They all just come off the top of my head. So nothing's written out here. The show sheets are, that's for sure, what we're going to talk about and all the football stuff, but not the intro. So you gave me way too much credit. Second, you have encapsulated my entire feelings, thoughts, and modus operandi when it comes to DeAndre Swift. I have been doing the same thing as you. I've been saying the same thing as you. And on Sunday, Erickson knows, because we did a live stream together, I said, I'm out. I'm done. I'm like that dealer in Vegas who shows you the hands and then steps up and then leaves the table. That's where I am with DeAndre Swift. Erickson, give me your take on Swift too, because we've all been patient. Now, we always practice patience, 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 patience. But after this weekend, I can't have any patience anymore. Like, you need a body, you need somebody. So where are you at with Swift? Are you where Mace and I are, where you're ready to just jump ship, but you fear that it's going to bite you in the rear end at the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrified that the Lions number three running back is going to bite me in the butt when I try to trade him away. But that's the case that we're dealing with. He's playing behind Justin Jackson. And yes, the Lions have won their last three games. So, okay, they haven't really faced a negative game script. Okay, that's why Swift's... But it's like, how many like different scenarios you need to put to put Swift in like the perfect place to... Okay, if this happens, this happens, and this happens, then Swift will have a good game. So it's like, it's just not worth the headache at this point. So I definitely am in the class of trying to trade him away, trying to package him with somebody else to get a different running back. I know we're going to talk about some other guys here that I'm also really not enthralled with either. So there is obviously Swift has talent. So if you want to buy the talent, I understand that, but the usage is not there. We don't know if he's healthy, and they're winning games by feeding Jamal Williams. And Dan Campbell loves Jamal Williams, so that's not going to change.
Well, who doesn't? Jamal Williams is everything that you want in a human being, let's be honest. I mean, I want to hand him the football, and he doesn't even play on my team.
He's scoring all the touchdowns I wanted Swift to score this year when I was taking him in the second round.
Well, he's doing everything. But here's the thing. I can't even get my mind around the fact that he's the most traded player. So that means there's enough people that have had it, but enough people that still see some sort of value in Swift, too. You have to have those two weird confluence of events come together for Swift to be the most traded player on Sleeper. And that to me is what's so stunning, which is, I think, why Mason's saying, I have this weird pit in my stomach. It's like the next season of Stranger Things doesn't matter, because this is far more terrifying of what happens after I deal DeAndre Swift. So let's see what the value is. Let's see who we'd rather have rest of season. Let's start with Andrew Erickson. Would you rather have Cordarrelle Patterson or DeAndre Swift rest of season?
I would rather have Swift than Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't like the Falcons matchup this week against Washington. It's horrible. And Patterson just has a tough schedule overall for the Falcons, just for running backs in general. So both guys don't have great usage. Both guys are just thriving off efficiency. And if that's all, if kind of, you know, everything else equal, I'm going to take Swift, because I think that he's the better player. Obviously, I don't know if he's healthier than Patterson, but...
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah. Mason, what about for you with this one when it comes to Swift and Patterson? One is probably healthier. Andrew mentions the efficiency metrics kind of the same in that sense, but Atlanta also a very run-heavy team, and Patterson can get used in different ways. So would you rather have Patterson or would you rather have Swift rest of season?
Yeah, so I am very biased. Cordarrelle Patterson, my third most drafted running back behind, I mean, Josh Jacobs and Kenneth Walker. So I am really rooting for my best ball teams that Cordarrelle Patterson is going to come through. But this is another player that I'm ready to give up on. I mean, if we're looking at back-to-back weeks, 2 weeks ago, he was used in a four-man running back by committee, had fewer snaps than Tyler Allgeier. This past week, they trimmed that down from a four-man running back by committee to only a two-man committee. But Tyler Allgeier, yet again, had more snaps, which is very frustrating, because if you're playing on the Atlanta Falcons, the overall offensive volume is so low that the only way you can actually be a viable option is if you are that lead back, is if you are going through and getting the majority of touches. So I have a very hard time buying into CPAT. I mean, obviously, he's a phenomenal pass catcher if they wanted to use him that way, but there's no passing volume here at all. They just don't throw the ball. So the man has had, like, I think, 11 receptions this season, like a ridiculously low number. So I think you go Swift, but that's just because if you're a team that's going to the fantasy football playoffs, you're not starting Cordarrelle Patterson anyway, so might as well just swing for the fences and see if Swift changes his usage. I don't know.
All right, how about Brian Robinson or DeAndre Swift? Who would you rather have rest of season, Mace?
Antonio Gibson, I think, had like 40 snaps compared to Brian Robinson at 20 this past week. I mean, here, I don't really see the upside with Brian Robinson either. He has 7 receiving yards this entire season. He's playing in Washington, so the touchdowns aren't going to come. So if you don't have access to touchdown upside or a receiving down role in a bad offense, like... It's just a player that I need to be avoiding. So if we're playing in a PPR format, I know Swift is very scary. There's no way in hell you could put him anywhere close to your starting lineup anytime soon. But between these two guys, I think you probably got to go Swift.
All right. They're real close in rest of season rankings, Erickson. Would you rather have Brian Robinson or would you rather have DeAndre Swift?
I'd rather have DeAndre Swift. I think we kind of know what Brian Robinson is. He's an early down grinder. I mean, he had a boatload of carries against the Eagles and barely scored like 15 fantasy points because he doesn't catch passes and he has to score touchdowns. So, look, the thing with Swift is we keep talking about if X changes. Like, because there is a path where that happens. Like, what's going to change with the Falcons that Cordell Patterson is just going to become a monster? You know, what's going to happen with Brian Robinson? We've already seen him play ahead of Antonio Gibson, and now the team's going back to Antonio Gibson as the lead back. Whereas Swift, look, they played a couple more negative game scripts. There is a scenario where he does turn it around in some capacity. Now, the faith in that is the reason why he's still not ranked as high as he should be, because there's fear that it never will change. But I think that his chances of changing are better than Cordero Patterson or Brian Robinson really hitting a ceiling that we know Swift can offer. So that's why I'm going to go with Swift on both of these guys.
So basically what I'm getting is you boys aren't ready to quite sell him off completely. You do have a standard still when it comes to DeAndre Swift. I think that's what we're learning, and that's why I tested you. I took two guys that I thought were lesser, and I wanted to test you to see if you were ready to just say, no, I want out. I just want that guy who is healthier. I don't care if he's in the committee. I don't care what's going on, but you're still holding out hope then for Swift. So that's for everybody out there who's got DeAndre Swift. That's where the guys are at right now. They're holding on still. So you got to do a little bit better than that to move DeAndre Swift. I don't know how much better you're going to get, but I think that's the deals that are out there. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Rocket Money. Did you know that 80% of people have subscriptions that they've just clear forgot about, like an unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account where they haven't used it in 2 years? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions when actually it costs closer to about $200. That's right. And they shouldn't be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions that they don't even use. And that's where Rocket Money comes in, formerly known as Truebill. Rocket Money is the app that allows you to have all your subscriptions in one place and then manage them all together. You can even cancel whenever you want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions that you don't even know you were paying for, and you might even be being double charged in some instances as well. And if you want to cancel a subscription, all you have to do is press cancel, that's it, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. So get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. That's rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. Seriously, it could save you hundreds of dollars a year. That's rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. Cancel your unnecessary subscriptions right now at rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. And now, back to the action. Deontay Foreman. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, I got out of the Deontay Foreman business a few weeks ago, and I sold high, and I'm very glad that I did, because certainly Baker Mayfield came back, and we all know the rest of that story. So here you go. This is an interesting one here. Andrew Erickson, we'll start with you. Do you want to buy, sell, or hold Deontay Foreman?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to move away from Deontay Foreman if I can, but I just don't think you're going to get really much for him. Like, he's coming off such a horrible game against the Ravens that he's super game script dependent. So I think that he's really more of a hold. If you need a running back this week, like desperately, like he does have a couple good matchups like coming up. Even this week, he's playing the Denver Broncos. Like, you can't throw in the Denver Broncos. Carolina has no interest in throwing the ball whatsoever. So you could see him having a productive game here. And he's dirt cheap right now, because if he's not playing the Atlanta Falcons, he's playing another bad matchup. And that's when he suffers, because he's just not involved in the passing game. But he still was the RB1, even over guys like Chuba Hubbard. He was still being used a little bit more than those guys. He's not a pass catcher. But I can't sell him for basically nothing. So I would probably just hold him. Or if I need a running back desperately, you could probably just like pick up Latavius Murray and flip him for Deontay Foreman this week, if you just would rather go with that route. That's kind of how I would approach it.
Wow, really low down there. I mean, he has had some big games, so I wonder what his value is on the open market. So Rashad White's an interesting name. He's coming off a bye. Last time we saw him, he had a lot of workload there. So Mason Dodd, I'm going to ask you, would you rather have Rashad White coming off this bye here, rest of season? We don't know if it's going to be him, it's going to be Fournette, what that usage is, or do we take the usage we know with Deontay Foreman, but the underwhelming potential game scripts and matchups that we have come to know and hate from the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, well, I graduated from the University of Texas, so hook 'em horns. I'm rooting for Deontay Foreman. Got to say it every time we bring him up. But we already see what prototype he is. He's a running back that's going to be a first and second down guy that's playing in an offense where there's no touchdown upside. So going back to what I was talking about with Brian Robinson in a full PBR format, in my opinion, the worst prototype of a player is going to be that first and second down guy that's in a horrendous offense, so he won't be scoring touchdowns. So that's why, Joe, I think you killed it by trading him away a few weeks back. I would still be selling Deontay Foreman if we could. And I think Rashad White's a perfect name to go for in a PPR format, because he can catch the ball. Mm-hmm. And maybe Deontay Foreman's a little bit better on a week-to-week basis just because he has the guaranteed starting role. But if you're looking at the range of outcomes, if Leonard Fournette were to go down, Rashad White wins your league. If Chuba Hubbard were to go down, Deontay Foreman is still a high-end running back 3. He's still not really making a difference.
So even if the median projection may be slightly higher with Foreman, I think Rashad White has the ceiling that Foreman just can't come close to.
Foreman has 3 100-yard rush games. There's not a lot of guys this year that have 3 100-yard rush games. And I think that's fascinating because it is 32 points or it's 3 points. And that's
Joe, he's the only running back that's played the Falcons twice. So
also fair. Two of those games were, but one was also against Tampa. 15 for 118 against Tampa, too. Let's not forget that one. So speaking of Tampa, Rashad White or Deontay Foreman, Erickson, who would you rather have rest of season? You want to roll the dice with White?
I mean, I've loved Rashad White ever since I looked up. I basically did the draft coverage for him, and I think that he's just a baller. And I was so excited to see him kind of start that game over Leonard Fournette. So I'm going with Rashad White here.
All right. So no hesitation there for you. All right. Let's up the ante a little bit. Now, this guy's getting a lot more work and a lot more hype, getting a lot more buzz. Still doesn't have any touchdowns yet, though. Isaiah Pacheco or Deonta Foreman? Erickson, who would you rather have rest of season?
I'm going to go with Isaiah Pacheco here. I think that both of them have similar roles on their offenses, except one of them plays for the Chiefs and one of them plays for the Panthers. So there is a very different terms of scoring opportunities. Not to say that the Chiefs like to give the ball to the running back. They like to throw for touchdowns. But, hey, more scoring opportunities. Eventually, you think that Isaiah Pacheco finds the end zone. And I love the Chiefs' playoff schedule for running backs. Texans, Seahawks, Broncos. Like, that is a really good schedule for Pacheco, so I would prefer him in the situation.
I think there's a world where you could pull this trade off based on some of the big smash games that Foreman has had so far, and the fact that you still don't have, you know, any touchdowns for Pacheco, which I know is a completely overrated statistic, but let's all be honest. In casual football leagues, people look at this and say, yeah, he's getting a lot of yards. He's gotten in all scores. You know, Foreman I can kind of bank on. You kind of look what he's done. I'd rather have Pacheco too. Mason, do you want to sweep that 3 for 3?
100%. I think Andrew said it perfectly. They're the same running back. They're the first and second down grinder. One of them plays for the Carolina Panthers, so where the red zone opportunity is going to be, and the other one plays for the Chiefs. They're the same guy, two different offenses. Maybe Deontay Foreman's slightly better. Like I said, I want to root for the man. But one has Mahomes, the other one has Baker. Like,
right. And you'd think that Pacheco would have gotten some touchdowns because of that, but not so much yet. And you still can, you know, you could seed some doubt there with, wow, McKinnon's around, all this stuff. And it's so funny about the guys we're talking about. If you look at the rest of season rankings over Fantasy Pros, Foreman is at 25, Swift is at 26, Patterson's at 28, Pacheco's at 29, Rashad White's at 31, Brian Robinson's at 32. All these guys are in this cluster, in this clump. But I think the big takeaway is if you're looking to kind of pluck a guy or two away, it's somebody like Pacheco. It's somebody like that. It's somebody like Rashad White who has that kind of upside here rest of season. So there are some separators in this low-end RB2, high-end RB3 conversation to target in trades. We're going to go to a name here that's been traded more than anybody else over the past week, and he just came back. It's Keenan Allen. So people are looking right now at Keenan Allen saying, hey, this is it. This is my opportunity to get out. And some people are looking and saying, hey, look, Keenan Allen, I remember him. He was good at football once upon a time. I remember when he used to play every week, and now he's back. So, Mason Dodd, do you want to be buying him, selling him, or if you have him, you just want to hold him?
I mean, imagine you hold Keenan Allen the entire season, right? You're going through painfully every single week, putting yourself through the torture of, oh, is Keenan Allen going to play? Oh, he's back at practice in a limited fashion. He's going through individual drills. And then every weekend he's ruled out. He's finally back and healthy. Mike Williams goes down. And then you sell him? No, this is the time to be buying in on Keenan Allen. So, I'm not selling Allen at all.
All right, Erickson, how about you? Are you somebody that's also buying on Keenan Allen because of this Mike Williams ankle uncertainty in what you've got here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not believing the Chargers one bit about, oh, yeah, no, his ankle injury is not that serious. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. Like, because re-injuring your ankle is always a non-serious injury. So I expect Mike Williams to miss some time here. And that means Keenan Allen, who played on a limited snap basis, was still super productive in that game. And look, the Chargers throw the ball more than any other team in the NFL. So he's going to continue to get peppered with targets. Like, Josh Palmer's been nice stepping up, but we know that Keenan Allen, like, from a target rate per route run perspective, Keenan Allen still has the highest target rate on the Chargers. You know, before he went down in week 1, he led the team in targets. So I think Keenan Allen, you're feeling great about it. And the fact that Mike Williams did go down, it was the best case scenario for Allen managers.
Mike Williams is one of these players that always leaves us wondering what if, and I'm frankly sick of it. I was hyping him going into the season. I was hyping him into the season. I thought, look, finally, one of these years, we got to get a healthy Mike Williams for, you know, 16 games, right? 17 games. Nope. Not happening. So I guess we're just never going to know the answer of what if Mike Williams plays an entire healthy season. It's just never going to happen now. So we have to move on, cut our losses. But we're not cutting losses necessarily with Keenan Allen. I'm going to throw some deals out here for these gentlemen, and they're going to tell me what move they'd rather have. Now, this guy came up with an injury last night, but he has been very productive of late. Rondell Moore or Keenan Allen? I know this is kind of swapping around guys here that are volume guys, quote unquote, but one has been playing the last few weeks. One just came back. So Erickson, if you're looking at Rondell Moore or Keenan Allen, who would you rather have rest of season, knowing also that Keenan Allen has had re-aggravation of his injury this year as well?
Yeah, well, Rondell Moore hasn't exactly been the picture of health throughout his NFL career and college career dating back to Purdue. Fair. So I'm very concerned that he got banged up in this last game. And it's just so tilting because Greg Dortch had a monster game. And I'm like, oh, my God, that would have been Rondell Moore. But fortunately, it didn't work out. So I'm going with the healthy guy here. I'm going with Keenan Allen. I don't have a lot of faith in Rondell Moore coming back from a groin injury. Just he's been banged up multiple times, even this year. So I'm going to take the healthier guy with Allen.
Now, those guys are very close right now, rest of season. So I'm going to throw another guy out there, too, because of that injury. So, Mason, I'm going to give you another guy who's very close rest of season rankings right now to where Keenan Allen is. Let's talk about George Pickens. We've talked earlier about where we think, you know, the Kenny Pickett evolution is going. And Pickens seems to be his favorite guy, especially in those big spots looking for touchdowns. It could have been another big touchdown too, but he completely overthrew him in that game. Very frustrating for everyone who had investments in the Steelers, I'm sure, including Steeler fans. But Mason, would you rather have Keenan Allen or George Pickens rest of season?
Couple things. Dynasty, give me Pickens, obviously. Pickens looks phenomenal. Kenny Pickett, hopefully he's going to continue to get better. But from a redraft perspective, I don't see these guys even in the same tier. I don't see these guys in the same arena. You have Keenan Allen over the past three seasons averaging a top 10 wide receiver finish on a points per game basis. He comes in and with limited snaps, he's 8 targets from Justin Herbert his first week back in. I think Keenan Allen should be way higher than this. Can I toss a question back over to y'all? Can I ask you Keenan Allen or Christian Kirk? I think that's honestly about where I'd put him.
Well, that was my next question. If Keenan Allen is Keenan Allen of old, he is much closer to the Christian Kirk conversation, much closer to the Tyler Lockett conversation, Chris Godwin, those guys. For me, Kirk, I think I'd rather have. Lockett, I think I'd rather have. But how about you, Erickson? Are you of this mind? You just want to jump right back into the Keenan Allen business? Because I'm still concerned about that lingering hamstring injury because it was an aggravation, because it happened the second time. To me, there's a little weakness there, and that worries me a little bit. So I'm not jumping up to that tier yet, but I understand why people want to. And Mason brings up a great point. Are you willing to do that for Keenan Allen?
Well, I think that there's obviously risk involved, but that's why there's a buying opportunity, because people are afraid, oh no, is the hamstring monster going to creep back up and take away Keenan Allen again? So it's giving you an opportunity to, because if he does stay healthy, then yeah, like you're looking at a top 10 wide receiver that you can get for way less than a top 10 wide receiver price tag. So look, if you're on the fringe of like your fantasy playoffs, you got to make a splash. I think going aggressively after Keenan Allen makes a lot of sense, because if it doesn't work out, he gets hurt again. Well, you probably going to make the fantasy playoffs anyway. But if he hits, he can be a big part of why you get into the playoffs and make some noise, especially if this Mike Williams injury, you know, lingers for a couple more weeks.
Mason, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head of the sense of the Keenan Allen value right now. If you can get him for that other tier of wide receiver we were talking about earlier, it's a no-brainer, you do it. But you have to be real careful if, or should I say flip side, if you could cash in Keenan Allen for one of those Tyler Lockett, one of those, you know, Chris Godwin type guys that we know the health has been there recent weeks, that's something to really consider, depending on if he's valued as old Keenan Allen or Keenan Allen who just looks old. So there you go. Let's get to another deal here for Keenan Allen. What about some bulk here? What about Treylon Burks and Joshua Palmer for Keenan Allen? Is that a buy-in, Erickson, that I can tempt you with? Two players for one?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to stick with Keenan Allen here. Burks obviously had a nice breakout game in the last Thursday night, and Josh Palmer's obviously filled in really well for whoever's been injured, whether it's Keenan Allen, whether it's Mike Williams, he's kind of filled in. But I still view Burks and Palmer as, you know, wide receiver three type players, where, you know, they're going to have spike weeks here and there, but all in all, I feel like I can find sometimes replacement value for them on the waiver wire, picking up a guy as opposed to Keenan Allen, who you can't find a top 10 wide receiver on the waiver wire. You just can't. So I'm going to probably stick with Allen here.
Mason, this is the ultimate sell high, right? These two young wide receivers that we were all excited about coming into the season, coming off two really good games, probably the best games of their 2022 season, right? Can you package them together and get Keenan Allen? And would you if you could?
With Joshua Palmer, I agree. I think he's a clear sell high. Everybody's going nuts with Joshua Palmer in my live streams. I mean, I understand. Scores two touchdowns. One of them was when you still had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams both out there on the field. But yeah, I'm cashing in. Give me Keenan Allen. We've seen such a long track record. I'm assuming he's going to get healthier, play more snaps than we saw last week. And if Mike Williams is down, like, Keenan Allen may be more than a top 10 receiver in a full PPR format. I think he can be a mid-wide receiver one. Like, I think he has the upside. Not saying it's guaranteed. Of course, there is risk inherently built in, but I like the ceiling.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Sign up today with BetMGM and use that promo code BETTINGPROS when you do, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, and don't forget to use that promo code BETTINGPROS. That's one word, BETTINGPROS, when you sign up today. Terms and conditions apply. Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Nevada, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., West Virginia, Wyoming, and Ontario only. Must be 21 years or older to wager, 19 or older in Ontario. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets on site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from insurance. Excludes Michigan. Disassociated persons, please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, D.C., Kansas, Louisiana, Nevada, Wyoming, or Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. In Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER in Indiana, Maryland, New Jersey, or West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY in New York. Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee or call 1-888-777-9696 in Mississippi. In Ontario, if you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, please contact Connects Ontario at 866-531-2600 to speak to an advisor free of charge. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited promotional offers not available in Nevada and New York. And now, back to the action.
All right, let's get to another wide receiver who's been traded the second most of any wide receiver on the Sleeper app, and that is Michael Pittman Jr. of the Colts. Erickson, back to you on this one. Michael Pittman Jr., just so you know, in half PPR, has not had a top 25 wide receiver game since week 6. That's been a long time. Now, I understand there's been change of quarterback, but they've changed back the last 2 weeks. You've seen the uptick in terms of the volume go back, 16 targets for him, and he's got 13 receptions, but still the touchdowns are hard to find. Last time we saw one was, well, the first week of the season. So is Michael Pittman somebody you want to buy, sell, or hold?
I think he's probably a sell for me. I think that the state of this Colts offense is, you're not going to see any league winning weeks from Michael Pittman. Like, he's gonna have to get like 20 targets in a game for him to have like a league winning week, just because of the volume he's seeing. He's not seeing a lot of downfield targets. They don't want to throw the ball downfield with Matt Ryan. And when they do, they're throwing it to Alec Pierce. Like, he is the team's vertical threat. Paris Campbell has stepped up and is commanding targets as well in this offense. And just the offensive line, I am still majorly concerned about. Like, we can see games where if this line crumbles against a strong defensive pass rush, then no one does anything for the Colts offense. So yes, the middling production, like good target share, he's catching a lot of balls. But I think ultimately for some of these guys we're going to talk about, those guys have much higher ceilings in my opinion. So that's why I would sell, you know, the floor of Michael Pittman for some of this ceiling upside with some of these other players.
Well, what's interesting is going into yesterday's game, Michael Pittman was still ahead of Brandon Ayuk rest of season rankings. That is no more. So I will ask this. I don't even know if this deal is available anymore. This is a deal that maybe was out there yesterday, but after last night's game with two more scores for Brandon Ayuk, maybe this deal gets pulled. But I'll ask anyway, who would you rather have rest of season? Michael Pittman Jr. and his boring empty volume, or the splashy Brandon Ayuk, who right now seems to be splashing all over the place? Erickson, who would you rather have?
I mean, Brandon Ayuk could have dropped both those touchdowns, and I still would have taken Brandon Ayuk in this situation, because he's been the 49ers wide receiver one for like the past month. Like, over 80 receiving yards, like three or four straight games. He runs more routes than Debo. He's the traditional X wide receiver on the 49ers offense. And the reason he got limited in terms of volume against the Cardinals was because the Cardinals force all the targets to the middle of the field. So to see Ayuk have a bad game in terms of volume and still come away with two touchdowns, it's like, oh my God, like even in a bad matchup, he still delivered. So Ayuk has just been someone that I continue to raise up my rankings. And it sucks, honestly, that he did score the two touchdowns because it makes it that harder for it to get him when he did see a game with low volume.
Right. And that's the thing. Look, Ayuk has been really steady. And then all of a sudden it's a low volume game. And then he's got two touchdowns. So Ayuk's clearly been that guy. But you know what's so weird, Mason, is that there was such draft capital and upside attached early on in July and August to Pittman. And I know it's week 12. Nobody should care about that. But some people oddly do. Do you think people still care about the enough for Pittman? Or do you think, no, it's Brandon Ayuk and it ain't close anymore? I agree with Erickson. I don't think it's close anymore, especially after last night.
I understand I'm going to look like an idiot, and I'm willing to. Okay, I built an entire brand this offseason, hating a few guys, hating on the Michael Pittman Jr. hype, hating on the Courtland Sutton hype, hating on the Mike Williams hype. Probably something wrong with me. You probably see these tall wide receivers, and I get a little jealous that I'm not 6'4". So maybe that's why.
It's pretty good right now. If that's the group that you were railing against, I think you look like a genius right about now.
Well, it's probably just something psychologically wrong with me. I need to talk to someone about it. But with Michael Pittman Jr., I mean, I know the touchdowns haven't been there. I know this offense is very bad. I didn't expect it to be great coming into the season. I will take him over Brandon Ayuk. I will catch the falling knife in a full PPR format. If we take a step back, think about what's happened with Ayuk so far this season. Mm-hmm. He got to play a large chunk of games with no George Kittle. The majority of his games with no Christian McCaffrey in the offense, who CMC is being used as a pseudo slot wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You had Deebo Samuel getting banged up for a small stretch during the season. So I would make an argument that Brandon Ayuk has seen a better situation up until this point than what he will see going forward. And with that being said, Michael Pittman Jr. had to play a few games with Sam Ehlinger. I think we can agree, even though Hook'em Horns, Matt Ryan's probably a better option for him long-term. I mean, Michael Pittman has 92 targets, 678 receiving yards. Brandon Ayuk has 66 targets, 587 receiving yards. Now, I know it looks like a lot of empty volume because you're looking at Ayuk with six touchdowns compared to Michael Pittman Jr. at one, and I completely understand that argument. But in a full PPR format, I am maybe willing to buy into the volume with Michael Pittman Jr. at this low of a price point where I didn't ever think he was a wide receiver one, because we should have known coming into this season that the Colts were going to be bad. Nobody knew they were going to be this bad, but still. I don't know. Please, if you're watching this, go with the guys that are smarter than me over here. Okay, don't follow.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you what, Mason. The only thing that I can say really that holds me up, and because I agree, I think the weekly theoretical floor of Pittman is something that's there and established. I have a problem too because he's still got that bye looming. He's still a week 14 bye guy, so that's another week where I can't use him to get into that playoff. So that's the problem. And Ayuk, you know, since McCaffrey's been there, he's also rattled off a couple 80 yard games again. Efficient, but I can't really knock a guy for being efficient. That's what people used to do to AJ Brown. They used to drive me crazy. I'm not saying Brandon Ayuk is AJ Brown, but sometimes guys are just making the most of the opportunities, and that's okay. That's a good thing. That means the offense is working. But here's another one for you. You want to talk about volume for volume. One's a better offense, especially now Dallas Goedert's going to give us some time. Devonta Smith or Michael Pittman, Mason, who would you rather have rest of season?
Yeah, I will go Smith, just like what you're talking about. You remove Dallas Goedert. I'm not saying Smith is going to be a completely different wide receiver, but I think he can pick up an additional 1 to 2 targets per game. I think the volume can be somewhat comparable between these guys. What I'm mainly worried about with Ayuk is you have Kittle, Deebo, CMC, and Ayuk all in the same offense. In Philadelphia, you're just sitting with AJ Brown alongside him, and I think that you do have a great offense in Philly, even if they are going to be a little bit more run heavy. So at this price point, I will cash out on Michael Pittman Jr. I'll go for Devonta Smith.
Erickson, same thing for you. Smith over Pittman?
Yeah, I mean, last week Smith had a 39% target share without Dallas Goedert, and that's not going to change because he's out for at least the next 3 weeks. So I think that comparing it to the 49ers, where Ayuk has three other guys he has to compete with, Devonta Smith is just AJ Brown. Like, that's it. So the offense goes to those two guys. So I think Smith is definitely the guy I want for Pittman.
Buy low, sell high.
Let's get to some more trade targets. Mason Dodd, who's the RB in week 12 here that you want to buy low on?
I've been saying this over the past few weeks, and I really don't want to be labeled the Najee Harris guy. Like, please, for the love of God, do not attach me and Najee Harris together. But at this point, with where his perception is and how far he has fallen, I think he is a fine buy, because if you go through and you look at the beginning portion of the year, really the first like 8 weeks for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Najee Harris had the toughest running back schedule you're going to find. With Najee Harris, he played in an offense where Kenny Pickett started out his career with 2 passing touchdowns, 8 interceptions. It couldn't have been a worse situation. And now things are shaping up where the rest of season schedule isn't phenomenal, but it's significantly better than where it's been. Kenny Pickett's only going to get better, or at least we should assume he only gets better his rookie season. Jaylen Warren just goes down with a hamstring injury, so now you're looking at Najee Harris taking that additional workload where he pretty much played every single snap this past week. So please don't label me the Najee Harris guy, but if his perception's this low, and in my opinion, his situation's getting better, I think that he can be a buy low candidate.
There you go. Everybody in YouTube comments, make sure you talk about how much of a Najee truther Mason Todd is, everybody. I want to see it in the comments. I want to see it. Oh, but you're right. I mean, look, back-to-back weeks, 20 carries, finally getting some touchdowns. Kenny Pickett's still learning on the fly, but certainly better than what Trubisky was earlier in the season. Now, one RB you can't buy low on is Austin Eckler, but lucky for you, we're giving away an Austin Eckler autographed jersey. So if you head over to fantasypros.com/contest, you can go ahead and enter to win that bad boy. All you got to do is go leave a 5-star review of the podcast wherever you get your pods. So go to Apple Podcasts, talk about the show, how much you love it, screenshot that bad boy, go to fantasypros.com/contest, and then you are entered to win that Austin Eckler jersey. And don't forget, follow us on social media, Instagram, Twitter machine, TikTok, Andrew Erickson's favorite. You become 1, 2, 3, 4 possibilities. That's right, 4 entries into the contest. So fantasypros.com/contest to win that Eckler jersey. All right, who would be winning this week, Mr. Erickson, if you were to buy low on a certain running back? Who would it be?
Yeah, we've talked about him in when we were discussing Brian Robinson, but I like Antonio Gibson. You know, 18 carries, 3 targets last week, season high in snap share at 68%. Like, if you guys have just been chasing the snaps with running backs, like, it's usually the telltale sign that this is the running back you want to be targeting, because the snaps correlate to more fantasy production, just how the running back position works in fantasy football. So the fact that he didn't score and that he didn't like smash against the Texans, and everyone was like, oh, the Commanders are going to smash, and they were kind of underwhelming. Curtis Samuel, of course, came away with the lone rushing touchdown. I mean, Antonio Gibson still had 2 carries inside the 10-yard line. He just didn't score. So when you look at his matchups, so he's got the Falcons and the New York Giants twice in his next 3 games, along with the bye week.
Giants back to back, right? If memory serves, they got the Giants with the bye week, and then the Giants again. Yeah.
Yep. So I think the schedule's really great for him. And, you know, Brian Robinson's still involved enough where I don't think people view Gibson necessarily as, oh, like, he's just locked and loaded our running back one. Whereas I think people were excited to start him last week, and he was like, eh, they're like, oh man, like, is Antonio Gibson really it? And I'm telling you, yeah, he is it. And we know he's explosive, and I think he's taken over as the lead back here. So I'm going to go with Gibson.
He's officially a second half guy. That's who he is. Comes on in the second half every single year. I'd be buying him in those dynasty leagues on the cheap too, because either he's there next year doing it again, or he's somewhere else doing it for 3 downs. So go check him out. All right, let's get to the sell high RB for the trade deadline in week 12. Who do you have, Andrew Erickson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Devin Singletary. You know, I was in on Singletary during draft season and felt he was being like really undervalued. And now I'm trying to get out because I'm trying to capitalize on his touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. So you look at what he's been able to do. So he has 7 carries inside the 10-yard line. He had 4 in week 11. He has 3 rushing touchdowns. Josh Allen has had 0 carries inside the 10-yard line. So you're starting to see a usage change where they're embracing Singletary more in the red zone against some of these softer run defenses. But the fact that James Cook, you know, looking pretty spry out there, rushed for 86 yards on 11 carries, played his largest snap share since week 2. There's just a lot of outs with Devin Singletary where you could see his value in production start to crater a little bit. You know, if they eventually do decide to use James Cook more, if they do decide to use Nyheim Hines in some receiving role, there are just paths where Devin Singletary's value decreases substantially, whereas right now he's at peak. You know, he's coming off touchdowns, which he barely ever scores because Josh Allen is obviously a big part of their red zone offense. And when you come down to the wire, I really think that they're going to be going back to Josh Allen as the red zone running back for the Buffalo Bills. So I think that too, even this matchup against the Lions, this is the perfect opportunity to sell on Singletary, because you look at the Lions over the last 3 weeks, we thought that the Bears were going to smash, the Packers were going to smash, the Giants, Saquon Barkley, he was going to smash, all underwhelmed. So I think the Lions running, like, the defense for the Lions is better against running backs than we've given them credit for over the last couple weeks. And Singletary is just not a difference maker. They don't necessarily feature him as much in the rushing game. So I think that Singletary is a strong sell high.
All right, Mason, who is your sell high for week 12 in the NFL?
this isn't someone you have to get off your roster, but for casual leagues, I feel like maybe some owners are going to get a little too excited about Isaiah Pacheco. He's going to be fine in a non-PPR format. Non-PPR format, I actually think maybe he's a buy. I definitely think he's at minimum a hold. But in a full PPR league, he's not going to catch the ball. Just dominated the Chargers. I mean, soft run defense in probably one of the best games of the year. I think that we can all get on board saying that. For prime time, it's been probably the best game of the season, if not up there. So a lot of people saw it. The man doesn't catch the ball. For a full PPR format, knowing the Chiefs usually look to throw it when they get in the red zone, I would at least be willing to throw him out there on the trade block and see what offers come your way. But he's not someone that you have to be shipping off of because he is in a very good offense and he clearly has that first and second down role.
Yeah, if you can get somebody to overpay, I agree. He's an interesting one because he does play in a whole high-profile team because it is Mahomes and all of that. But you're right. I think it's an overpay more than anything for Pacheco. Let's talk about the wide receivers to buy low on. Mason Dodd, give me your first guy. Who you want to buy low at wide receiver here at the trade deadline?
I'm going to go AJ Brown. I know AJ Brown hasn't really done much over the past 2 weeks. Over the past 2 weeks, he has 6 receptions for 67 receiving yards. But just like what we got done talking about with Devonta Smith, I mean, these two guys are combining for over 50% of the targets in Philadelphia right now. And with AJ Brown, this is kind of who he is. He's a wide receiver that does rely on efficiency, that is going to have these massive spike weeks, but occasionally will let you down. But I'm willing to buy into him still as that top 10 wide receiver easily, knowing that if we look at what he's done so far this season, he has a game with 10 receptions, 155 receiving yards. He has a game with 6 receptions, 156 receiving yards, and 3 receiving touchdowns. Hard to find someone that has a higher weekly ceiling than Brown. You remove Devonta, you remove Dallas Goedert. Like I said, with Devonta Smith, I don't think it immediately makes AJ Brown 10 times better, but maybe he picks up an extra target or two. So I like Brown.
Yeah. Oh, you had me at, he's had 2 bad weeks. I mean, that's what you do, 8 points in the last 2 weeks. This is, if he is not the biggest, you know, buy low candidate at wide receiver, I don't know who is. I think you nailed it there. Erickson, who do you have here at the buy low wide receiver spot?
Yeah, I'm looking at another NFC East receiver coming off a bad game. Terry McLaurin, you know, 4 balls for 55 yards in week 11, but all the usage marks were there. 100 air yards, 51% air yard share, 30% target share. And look, he's playing the Atlanta Falcons this week, so it's a great matchup. And the Texans matchup was never really that good for wide receivers anyway, just because teams just run the ball on them. So I didn't expect McLaurin to necessarily blow up in the spot. But with Taylor Heineke under center, McLaurin, 30% target share. He's seeing 50% of the air yards in the offense. Like, he is the entire passing game for Taylor Heineke and this Washington Commanders offense. So, I mean, he's averaging just under 17 fantasy points per game in PPR, 6 catches, 93 receiving yards per game with Taylor Heineke. So, I mean, Terry McLaurin, if I can sell like a Seattle Seahawks receiver or Debo, like for McLaurin in his locked and loaded number one alpha status, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, be careful. Everybody does have that bye in week 14 still looming, but he's got Atlanta, the Giants, the bye of the Giants, then San Fran and Cleveland. So pretty good schedule for the most part there. A little tough one, obviously, against San Francisco. Let's flip the script here, gentlemen. Erickson, who are you trying to unload here? Who is your top sell high wide receiver for week 12?
Yeah, this one was tough for me to try to figure out of a sell high wide receiver, but I... Juju Smith-Schuster, because of where he's ranked in the rest of season ranking. So he's wide receiver 23, and there are just too many signs for me that point to him just being someone I'm trying to move off of. Look, the Chiefs have the number one toughest strength of schedule left per Fantasy Pro strength of schedule tool for wide receivers. It's the third toughest per PFF. They have to face the Denver Broncos 2 more times. They still haven't played Denver this year. And when you look at Juju, and when he had that hot streak of his last 3 games before his injury, his target share didn't change in the offense. He was still sitting right under 20% at 19%. So he wasn't seeing more volume, except he was just ripping off like massive plays after the catch. He was scoring more touchdowns. His usage was as wide receiver 29 in half points per game. So he's really still a wide receiver 3, honestly, just based on how he's used in the Chiefs offense. It's Travis Kelce and then whoever Patrick Mahomes decides he wants to throw the ball to that particular week. And it obviously depends a lot on the coverage that the other defense is using. So I think Smith-Schuster really is a more of a wide receiver 3 rest of the season than where he is as a top 24 guy in the rest of season ranking. So if I can sell him off of, oh, Kadarius Toney's hurt, oh, Juju is going to come back, MVS doesn't get targets, that's what I would probably do, especially the Chiefs coming off that massive game where, oh, Patrick Mahomes, like, he's so good. It's like, we've seen Juju play with Patrick Mahomes for a long time. And for more often than not, he has underwhelmed from a fantasy perspective. So I would be trying to move off Juju.
The two looming matchups with Denver, I think, is a lot to consider. Also, to consider. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, too. You know, last time we saw him, he looked so good for a couple weeks in a row. And then the injury, I wonder if you can get Terry McLaurin straight up for him. I bet you can. Bet you can in a lot more leagues than you realize. That's a trade you might want to make. All right, Mason Dodd, what's a trade you want to make? Who is off the island at wide receiver for you at the trade deadline?
I hate saying this. Christian Watson, someone I have in a lot of best ball leagues. I wish he was the wide receiver one here rest of season. I wish he was the bona fide alpha. But coming off of 2 weeks where he just absolutely smashed, I think that he could be an intriguing sell high candidate, because if we look at the target share that we had this past week, Christian Watson dominated with 2 receiving touchdowns, 4 receptions, 48 receiving yards. But I'm less excited about him now than I was last week. Like, I'm literally less excited.
We wanted to sell him last week on the show. Okay. And if you bought him from us, you did pretty well last week. But there's another guy, too, who still got that bye looming in week 14. So why is he not the guy? Why have we seen the best of him that we're going to see all year, in your opinion?
You had 39 attempts for Aaron Rodgers this past week, and the man had 6 targets. The man is just not getting the volume. You had 6 targets going over to Randall Cobb. You had 11 targets going to Alan Lazard. You had 7 targets going to Aaron Jones. And Romeo Doubs sounds like maybe he's not going to be back this week, but it sounds like Romeo Doubs could be back the week following. So I really didn't like Alan Lazard coming into the year, because I think it's maybe an easy spot to avoid whoever the wide receiver one is for Aaron Rodgers, given the fact that there are so many names here that these targets are going to be dispersed. And clearly the offense isn't what we've seen in years past. So I'm really hoping I'm wrong. I'm really hoping the excitement that we had with Christian Watson last week should be the excitement we have rest of season. But I think it is a good cashing out point.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's move to your questions here for a little three and out, where we take your questions straight from our listener mailbag over on our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Again, free to join, but when you are a premium member, you get access to stages, AMAs, and a whole lot more. It's a fantastic community. We even got the touchdown call contest going on still. So here are the questions. Let's go to DC Metro. Trade away Chris Godwin and Wilson for Amon-Ra or Lamb? Mason, number one, do you think you can even pull this off? Like, I know we're all excited maybe that Mike White's going to take over at some point for Zach Wilson, but can you pull off Godwin and Wilson for Amon-Ra or Lamb? I don't think that's enough, do you?
So is this Garrett Wilson, not Russell Wilson?
I assume it's Garrett Wilson.
Okay, let's say because it's I was going to say, if it is Russell Wilson, you have to keep Russ. I mean, I'm assuming that the Denver Broncos are going to let him cook sometime soon, and he should be the quarterback one overall rest of season, but that's just a small hunch I have. And if we're going to be looking at Garrett Wilson and Chris Godwin,
hey, did you just say the words that Russell Wilson's going to be the quarterback one rest of the season? Are you feeling all right? Are you okay?
Wait, Russell Wilson's not going to be the quarterback one. Did you not hear everybody coming into the season saying the Denver Broncos were going to win the division?
Yeah, that's true. I also remember everybody talking about how good the AFC West was going to be, and that has not been the case.
let me go pull up. I haven't watched a Denver game this year. Maybe out of the loop. Maybe something has happened. But
I love the sarcasm. It's so fun. All right, let's keep going.
Yeah, you got to sell for Amon-Ra St. Brown or CeeDee Lamb. I mean, these are bona fide stud alpha wide receivers. With St. Brown, I know some people are maybe going to be worried if Jameson Williams comes in. They're two completely different wide receivers. Like, honestly, absolutely, they kind of play two different positions, with Jameson Williams being the field stretching option, Amon-Ra St. Brown being the chain mover. Maybe Jameson's a little more valuable for the Detroit Lions, and how important that speed is for how defensive coordinators have to go through and adjust their game plan on how they scheme against the Detroit Lions. But from a fantasy football standpoint, volume's king, receptions are king. That's what the pseudo flanker, slot wide receiver, whatever you want to call him, is with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think you take the stud receiver.
I don't think you could pull this off for Lamb. You could probably put off for Amon-Ra, especially if you do get the news of the quarterback switch here for the Jets, and people go, oh yeah, renewed optimism again, hooray for Garrett Wilson, which I love Garrett Wilson, but Amon-Ra, you know, something about playing for the Lions, you know, and he's not a big touchdown machine either. He is a volume stud, but touchdowns are not his thing. He hasn't had a touchdown since week 2. He's got 3 on the year, and 2 of them were in week 2, and the other one was in week 1, so it's been a while. Andrew Erickson, let's go to the next question here from Franco. Got offered Chase for Pollard and Drake London. Do I accept that in a full PPR? I'm getting a lot of Chase questions about, is this the time to trade him away? Do I want to trade for him? I understand the unrest in the market, and I'm a little worried myself about what Jamar Chase we're going to get when he does return eventually. So what side would you rather be on? Do you want Pollard, who looks spectacular the last 3 times out, and London, or do you want the swing big but potential miss of Chase?
I guess, I mean, it depends on my record. Like, if I feel good about a playoff spot, then I have no problem trying to get the, you know, a top five wide receiver with Ja'Marr Chase, knowing that I'm going to make the playoffs anyway, and he can be a difference maker for me. And I feel good about the other positions. Like, give up Pollard, you know, who was a guy that you were drafting, not necessarily as a starter. So you might actually have other running backs that you can use. And Drake London has really been a guy that you haven't been starting over the last couple of weeks, just because he hasn't been seeing any volume in the offense. So I think it depends. If I need wins now, like, I want to stay in the flames with Tony Pollard because the guy's on absolute fire, and Drake London has a little bit of a boost with Kyle Pitts now out of the lineup. So I do like those guys, but if I am locked into a playoff spot and I can get Chase on for this price, I think that it's fair. It may be even a little bit of overpay, honestly, just because of how good Pollard has been. But I mean, once Chase gets back on the field, if he is what he is, then it'll be worth it.
It will, but it's an if. I struggle with the ifs. Let's go to Hammy Takes. Last one here. James Robinson, Zay Jones, and Keenan Allen, or Michael Carter and Brian Robinson? This seems like a no-brainer to me, guys. We want the Keenan Allen side of this trade, correct? Yes. Yes, we're all taking that side.
I mean, you
all
could right, just get so rid of James. I mean, Zay Jones, James Robinson don't even need to be in the trade, honestly.
just get Keenan Allen for Michael Carter and Brian Robinson. That's all you need to do. And one last note before we go. If you're in leagues, everyone, where you're upset because some bottom-feeding team is trading up some really good players in a redraft league to some team that doesn't need it, and it's making everybody kind of purse their eyebrows and think, well, maybe they're up to something. Here's an easy rule to fix all that. Once you're eliminated from playoff contention, you're not allowed to trade. See how easy that is? I just solved all of your problems. So remember that when you're creating your leagues next year, it's a little wrinkle, it's a little rule that saves everybody a lot of issues, and then you can all come to Thanksgiving with all your family and friends, and nobody is mad at each other. There you go. Mason Dodd, never mad at you. Always happy that you're here joining us. Go check out the Fantasy Flock network over on the Twitter machine. It is a fantastic place to find fantasy football live streams, to find fantasy football content, and go follow Mason Dodd over on the Twitter machine as well, at Mason Dodd FFN. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app now and start playing today. And Rocket Money. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money right now. Go to rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. That's rocketmoney.com/fantasypros. And cancel your unnecessary subscriptions and come out on the positive. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Mason Dodd, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.